Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back in. Nick Szepkowski, Mark Grody in for Danny Mac and Danny Parkins, who both have the day off today. We're in until 6 o'clock this afternoon and talked a lot of Bulls, have talked a lot of Houston Astros as well to start off the show today. But the NBA All-Star Game has come to town and the festivities will begin. You're starting to see different events, the pop-ups going on throughout the city where it really takes over starting Friday night and it becomes the center of the basketball universe. And all the megastars and all the greatest players will be here. But also with that, the biggest stars in NBA media come to town as well. And a couple of them were on our very radio station today. And when the likes of a Kenny Smith offer thoughts on not just, oh, the Bulls are bad, but how to fix the Bulls, you take a listen. Kenny Smith from TNT, what I think is, even though I'm not the biggest NBA fan, I think it's the best studio show of any sport show that's out there. It's the best studio show that there is, to me. And I don't think it's particularly close. It used to be College Game Day, but all they want to do is either make you cry or just do the scream at each other and argue thing now. So I think it's the NBA on TNT and their pre- and post-game show. Anyway, Kenny Smith, a star of that from TNT, he was actually in studio with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight earlier today. Radio.com app you can go to and download the podcast if you want to hear it in full. But he was asked about the Bulls, asked about their shortcomings. This is what he offered as a few solutions.
It's easy to see but hard to do unless you're part of the culture to kind of beat it into, like Joel Embiid had that great game. But there has to be someone that's beating that into his mindset every day. And for some reason, it's not being this year than it was like it was last year.
What's the most important first step in changing a culture like that? Because I know a lot of Bulls fans would be interested in those first steps if only they'd take them.
Trust. Like, you have to have a voice that everyone trusts. I know that being part of championship teams and being on an Emmy Award winning show, there's somebody you trust. So when you say something, you're not going out and going, hey, I just got this information. Hey, and you're going out and say, hey, then the assistant coach goes, no, they trust the voice and then they're going to apply it. Then when it doesn't work, I don't mind if you go out and asking people, but there has to be that initial, like, I believe in this and I'm going to try it. And then that builds a culture of winning, because when it works, then they block out all the outside noise and then they start closing doors on everyone. Mm. And then they're like, no, we're just listening to these 12, 15 guys in this room. I'm not listening to my brother, my cousin, my friend from Idaho. I'm focused and locked in. And that's what LeBron James has been a voice of trust for. So when he's in a locker room, that's why his teams have done so well. Like, they trust what he says. And so now they go out and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. That, to me, is the first step of a winning culture, having a voice that you can trust.
Obviously, it starts at the very top. This is a league where ownership really matters. Mm-hmm. The commitment from ownership, the example set by ownership, but not just what's said, but what's done obviously matters and how business is conducted. There have been recent reports locally here in Chicago that Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf are as close as they've ever been to considering some sort of restructuring of the front office. We don't know the depth or breadth of those plans. If right now you could name a guy to be president of basketball operations and given absolute full autonomy to remake the Bulls as he or she sees fit, who is that person, or who would a handful of those people be reasonably?
Could I change the question?
I don't know. I'm curious of the answer, though.
Because I'd like to change the question, because I say this. I know how powerful at times the voice of TNT and our job could be. And Charles and I, we vowed. So you would make me break a vow that he and I have.
Which is what?
That we would never say someone should get fired or replace them with someone when someone's there.
You're not saying that. You aren't saying that.
Yeah,
I can lawyer this thing. If I can lawyer this. So
I'm telling you, this is my vow, because we said almost verbatim what you did like 8 years ago. The next day, the guy got fired. The next day. And so I was like,
you feel bad about it?
I did, because I was like, man, I didn't realize how. I said, Chuck, do you realize that that was not on people's radar until we said it? He's like, yeah, I know. No one's paying attention. I said, yo, he got fired today. And he's like, what? And so for me, you know, while Paxton's there, I'm not going to say, I will say what needs to be done. And I could tell you what needs to be done.
But I know you know the name of somebody in an organization who's going to be the next person.
How about that? I know the answer what needs to be done by the names that need to be in there.
Okay, lay out.
Or even him.
All right, right now, in our theoretical world, you are that person. You have just been, you've got the Bulls in front of you. What do you need? I've got an unlimited budget. I can do whatever you need to do to get the Bulls back to contending to win titles.
Well, the first thing we have to know if Paxton actually has that autonomy to do that. He's got every resource that he needs. If he does, then now we're talking a different scenario. Okay, and so for him, what now is, it's about, there's two ways to build a team. You got to build a team by free agency. And you said, when I walked in, what did you tell? Tell me what it said.
I said, I apologize for the weather, and I'm sick about what this is doing to the minds of potential free agents as they arrive, and it's below zero.
Right, because of the snow and hard to get here and all of that. So now you say, can I build it that way? Do free agency, or I build it, and the first thing I would show everyone my championships. I'm like, you could be cold, but you're going to win. We've done that before. And then the other way, you know, because there's the Lakers and the Clippers who built it. Great free agents. These guys are. But the rest of the league built it with a great eye for talent and a great player development. That's Milwaukee. That's Denver. That's Utah. Like, Donovan Mitchell is their best player. Rudy Gobert is their best player. So you have to have people who have a great eye, or people who are around you with a great eye. So to me, there's two ways to build it. Am I a city that can attract the top guys and beg to be here? If I'm not that, then I'm going to have the best basketball acumen guys who are going to have their head down and not pay attention to the whispers. And so that, and at times you have to revitalize that, because like I said, the trends change in the league. So, like, now I need a guy who is probably a little closer to the millennial thought of view, the AAU system as well. I need someone in that realm, mm-hmm. because you got the LaMelo Balls coming into the league. You got the Zion Williamsons. You know, you all of those guys, they come from a different mindset of basketball.
How does that manifest itself? What specifically, rubber meets the road here? When you talk about that mindset, are they being coached differently?
No, both. They don't have a dream to play for the Bulls. They have a dream to play in the NBA. So they don't care if they leave your team.
Right.
They don't care at times to stay there. Like, that's not the number one priority for guys when they're reaching their free agency, is like, I'm going to stay where I started. That, because on AAU, they play on different teams. They play on different circuits. They play on the Adidas circuit, the Nike circuit. They play on Under Armour. They all these different things that they do. They don't. I see it firsthand every day. You know, I have AAU teams. It's different. The parents have a different mindset. Parents typically would be like, hey, how do you get my son to this university? The question is, how do you get my son to the league? It's a different mindset. Mm. You know, they're not thinking, like, my mom was like, look, you're going to go to college, and if you don't graduate and if you don't get A's or B's in college, you're not going to get a car. No, there's that mindset is out of the window. And if you don't understand the
dynamic. Do we have the same parents?
Exactly. If you don't understand that dynamic of what's going on, you could just evaluate great talent and not understand the internal workings of how to make them motivate.
That's Kenny Smith. Earlier today, the Jet was in studio with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight there. And yeah, it's easy to say, but it's hard to kind of, without knowing who that person is, get the guy that can get the eye for talent. And that's what the majority of the NBA does. It's what any good organization does. And I think that's the pipe dream. If you're a Bulls fan, if you are a Bulls observer, that's what you hope for. Okay, make yourself so good at developing talent, at drafting talent, that you get whatever the coach or the GM is that's going to do that so well, that because of the talent that's brought in on an annual basis, even in the middle to later round of the first round, by drafting, by developing that way, then be the team that has that talent, that then free agents say, oh, they got that guy, they developed that guy, they turned that guy into a star, I want to go play with them, because what could they possibly do for me? I think they were close to having a certain someone that was close to that guy. And he happened to drive everyone, or at least the wrong people, mad in the Bulls front office, or in the Bulls offices. And I think that was Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his draft run of, yes, I know, who is the Marcus Teague was a disaster and he was awful, and Tom Thibodeau also didn't want to draft him.
Right.
But like Jimmy Butler, you think Jimmy Butler, if he starts his career somewhere else, turns into what Jimmy Butler is now? And Jimmy Butler is a, what, top 15 talent, top 20 talent in the NBA? Not quite like megastar, but for a guy that's picked at the bottom of the first round, that's about as high a ceiling as you're ever going to find.
And he got better at stuff every year. That was the thing of Jimmy Butler under Tom Thibodeau. I'll disagree a little bit with what the Jet, Kenny Smith, had to say. Not really disagree, but he was overcomplicating the concept of creating a winning culture, because in today's NBA, the way you create a winning culture is with a superstar player. That's just the way it is. I mean, now more than ever, this is a player's run league. It is about having a superstar or two or three on your team, and then you will dominate the regular season and probably get yourself into the NBA Finals. The Lakers were kind of a joke the years previous to having Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, they were a joke.
They really, since Kobe's last few years where they were just awful and it was him putting up 35 shots a night.
They were ripped
they've
on.
They've been brutal.
The way we're
LeBron's
talking about.
LeBron's first year, they weren't a playoff team.
Yeah,
last year, they weren't even a
that's
playoff
true.
Team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the
he
way.
He got to spend his offseason filming Space Jam instead of playing in the postseason.
The way we're talking about the Bulls right now is exactly the way people in Los Angeles were talking about the Lakers. And then all of a sudden, they get two superstars on the team this year. They are back among the elite because they have superstars on their team, and the culture is fixed, and the coach is not a bozo, and the front office is suddenly redeemed. So it can happen that quickly. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't rip on what is happening with the Bulls front office, with the head coach. I mean, that maybe they all got to go, but it really comes down to having a superstar player. And when the Bulls did have that, when they did have that for that small Derrick Rose healthy window, everybody looked good all of a sudden. The coach looked really good. The GM looked really good because you had a superstar player, and it becomes a lot easier to build around a superstar player than when you have a bunch of guys who, like the conversation of Zach LaVine at this point is, and I feel like everybody agrees on this, that Zach LaVine on a really good team is what? A number three. That's what you have. So you don't have anything close to a superstar. You don't even know on the Bulls right now if you have good. That's the problem. I mean, is Zach LaVine, is Markkanen good? Is Zach LaVine really good? Like, in 5 years from now, what is Zach LaVine? Where is he? What is he? I don't think anybody can really, I mean, I think people think they know what he is, but there's
like he's a primetime scorer for what he's in right now.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
Because
it has very little meaning because of look at the lack of respect that he's gotten around the NBA. Just as simple as not making the Olympic roster tryouts, not making the All-Star team. Around the NBA, he's kind of looked at like empty calorie scorer. What does it really mean when he's putting up 30-point games? Nobody seems to really respect it or think it really has any kind of depth to it.
Well, the old saying always was that someone's got to score 20 on a bad team, right? Maybe in this fast-paced NBA.
Yeah, somebody's got
right
to.
Now, somebody's got to score 26 yeah. now instead of 20. And is that Zach LaVine? I think that you put Zach LaVine on a good team, you're getting offense from somewhere else. Part of it's because the Bulls don't have a whole lot of options that you can rely on. So sure, it's more dependent there. But it's also just, you add Zach LaVine to an actual contender, how many teams out there are going to be like, oh yeah, well, Zach LaVine's there now. That puts them completely over the top. He's not that kind of player.
Well, he's a perfect guy to come in when your superstar is, like when LeBron James comes out of a game, put Zach LaVine in for seven or 8 minutes and let him score some points. That's perfect.
But he's not a guy that like a very good team is going to be like, yup, that is the piece. That is the guy.
Exactly.
It's a spell minutes guy on a good team, or it's like you're, when you work your rotations, he's your second rotation, your stud of that.
And so, and somebody texts in, it's a good question. Explain then, based on what I was saying, that you have to have a superstar. Explain then the Raptors and the Jazz. I love the Raptors, by the way. I love what they're doing with a 15-game winning streak.
Both.
Yeah. That was for you, McNeil. I love
Saucer.
What they're doing.
Big-time onions!
I love what those teams are doing, but does anybody really think the Raptors or Jazz has a chance of winning the NBA title this year? No! And yes, there was a winning call. I mean, you could go back again to the teams that we were talking about with the Bulls when John Paxson did bring them back to respectability with the Luol. We'll just call them the Luol Deng Bulls, and you know all the players that existed then. That was a winning culture, but it was not good enough. That was not a championship culture. And what really makes a winning culture in this NBA is having yourself a superstar player.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Kendrick Perkins was on with Mully and Hall this morning. Then we'll hear from him in just a little bit. But we haven't taken any telephone calls, and there's people out there that want to talk about the Bulls, point the finger of blame, and maybe offer a few solutions, as Jerry Angio always liked to have offered towards him during his general managing days here in Chicago. But we go out to St. Louis. Welcome in, Keith. You're first up on the score. What's up, Keith?
Keith, this is just like the Derrick Rose interview. Is this Derrick Rose?
Derrick, are you there?
See, you don't know how to work the new phone system either, do you?
I mean, it's what I always do with it. I mean, it's the same thing.
Somebody
like I'm literally hitting the number one next to it. Maybe that's why.
That was
There's
awesome.
Music on his thing instead.
Somebody compared Zach LaVine to Jamal Crawford. That's what they think ultimately he ends up as. Well, that'd be pretty good because, like, I mean, and that's an interesting parallel because Jamal Crawford, for all you youngsters out there, was supposed to be he was once upon a time part of the Bulls' core, the Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry, and what was supposed to be Jamal Crawford. Crawford struggled for a long time and then became a great sixth man in the NBA. Would you use the word great? He's had a very good NBA career.
Like, how many guys that are like career six guys were ever defined as great?
Yeah, you're right. I can't use the word
Ginobili?
Great. Ginobili'd
be the one, right?
He had a better career than I thought he would. I thought early on, he was a top 10 pick, right? Out of Michigan?
Hey, programming news, Keith in St. Louis back on the line.
Oh, good. We got to have Keith.
All right, Keith's got Bulls thoughts. He's next on the score.
Keith, make it good.
Yeah, hi, guys. You know, out of sight, out of mind, the one person that no one is talking about with all the Bulls' problems is Gar Forman. And the reason being is because they've kept him really quiet, and Paxson is now doing the interviews, doing the face of the organization. This guy, you know, the team was actually going okay, and then, you know, Forman came up from scouting and became the GM. And I've been in management for about 35 years. He is a master at managing up. He does whatever he has to do to keep his job. He does whatever he has to do to keep the people above him happy. But yet, he's a terrible manager below. A classic example, the Luol Deng night. He's sitting in the suite. All the ex-players are there. He's not talking to any of them. He's on his phone. He is the reason why you are not getting great players here, because the word around the league is you can't trust this guy. He had a spy in the locker room in Randy Brown, and Randy Brown would run to him to let him know everything that was going on. He also, his wife, for a lot of people that might not know this, his wife is best friends with Michael Reinsdorf's wife. His wife, Forman's wife, runs Bulls Charities. Again, he has locked himself in to that role. He brings in a guy like Boylan to cover his backside. Boylan's a fifth-grade coach.
Yeah, a fifth-grade coach is probably being complimentary there.
Do we need to do a disclaimer on this guy, by the way? We are not responsible for any of the... You care to revise your statement there? So I don't know if any of that stuff is true. I've heard little bits and pieces of that, but I can't remember verbatim what the reports were. So I certainly am not here to verify anything that Derek there, middle management Derek, said over the years. So.
Yeah, it was Keith. It was his name.
I thought it was
close
Derek.
Enough. It's all right. I finally
Keith,
hit the right button, Derek? And you got his name wrong. It's all good.
I thought it was Derek.
Derek was the guy that I hung up on earlier.
Oh, yeah, that was Derek Rose.
Yes, you are confused in those guys. Yeah.
Derek and Keith, they're pretty much the same
guy.
Are
we going to bring back the play-by-play of the Derek Rose interview, just the way it went, the strike one, strike two?
I want
the whole thing. At some point in time, we don't have to do it right now, but at some point in time, I think we need to bring back
Shane's our EP today says that's embarrassing. That's a no-go. We'll just play the good portion of it.
That's right. I forget Shane is the boss when Mitch Rosen is in Milwaukee.
That's right. Shane's a little testy today. I don't know what I did to tick him off, but he has not been in a good mood around me this afternoon.
I'm cool with
Shane. I try to tell him thank you like six times, and it's just...
What are you talking about?
Gives me that stare of death. Just like, man.
You're not getting a stare that nobody else isn't getting.
I don't know, man.
The stare of death, by the way, does that equal coffee? Bringing coffee to you? That was a pretty nice
question. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm cool with it, man.
Greg bought coffee and I ran. That's a nice thing to do for
you. I know. He did. But I said, like, I even went to Tanny while you were gone with the coffee. I'm like, did I tick Shane off today?
No.
He seems really upset.
Miscommunication earlier when we were talking about Derrick Rose specifics. I told you that wasn't unorganization on your part. I was very clear in saying that. That was unorganization on the other people's part. There was no anger with you. I want to make that very clear.
Okay. As long as we're good.
Hey, while we got
you here. That's the last person at the station I want to make mad.
Real quick, while we got you here, there was like Christopher Dickens, one of the fine producers here, put together like
number one.
Yeah, he put together like his power ranking.
You know his favorite song?
What?
Linger.
Do you have to? The Cranberries?
Yeah, he does have to linger.
How old is Christopher Dickens?
I don't
thereabouts.
Know.
It's 29 or 30.
That's Cranberries.
Oh, he's 29?
That would be his choice. That's interesting because that was a 90s song. But what are the who are the best producers at the radio station, Shane?
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
Come on. Okay. Worst producers, then.
No, okay. No. Yeah. No. This isn't, I'm not Grobber. This isn't a little conversation that you can get yourself into by going around the back way. No.
So there.
So you're going to the Super Bowl, Shane?
Would you drop it?
Would you drop it? There you have it.
I'm dead serious.
Quit asking
about it. Then play a Ditka cut.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Chris Tannehill, Shane Reardon helping out on the other side as always as well. We're in for Mac and Parkins. Both of them have the day off today. We'll share some audio from earlier today. Kendrick Perkins on with Mully and Haw. He had thoughts on the Bulls, specifically Jim Boylan. You probably know where it's going, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to hear it next on 670 The Score.
Will you drop it?
He's apples and oranges ahead of everybody.
See? That's why he's the best in the business. That's why he gets his name in the intro every day from Danny Parkins.
Yeah,
because Chris Tannehill has Linger coming back. Just
not
like
today,
that.
Though. Notice that.
That's yeah, I know. That's
Thanks
right.
A lot.
That's right. Did that purposely. I was like, I know how uncomfortable Chris gets. I'm going to give him the day off on that. But I did watch Connor walk into the storm that is asking Tanny what he's eating for lunch. Tanny, that looks awesome. What is that? One thing you never ask Chris Tannehill. Hey, what are you having for lunch? That looks good.
I don't know
Will
this
you
about
drop
Chris.
It? I'm dead serious.
I mean, there's one way to tick that man off. His favorite part of being at work each day is like the roughly 8 minutes he gets to eat his lunch. He does not want to be stopped or slowed down by your small talk about what he's about to consume.
You know, to that end, actually, I have there's a guy at the grocery store that I go to that always...
you give food to?
No, well, I'll get to that, too.
This is not where you get your eggs. It's a different place.
Yeah, it's a different place.
Okay.
Yeah, the eggs are at the Hyatt. I revealed that.
Yes.
I let
Famously
that out.
You revealed
Those
that.
Are some high-grade eggs, man.
Can't get your eggs there anymore.
Famous reveal. Yes, it's the Hyatt Hotel that has a fake Starbucks, and a fake Starbucks is a place that proudly serves Starbucks, but it's not a Starbucks, which means you can't get free refills if you go there, and you can't get a lot of the different items. So there's my secret right there. When you see me running off, I'm usually running off to the Hyatt Hotel. But to that end of like people wanting to know what you're eating, and the guy at my grocery store, when a certain guy will always comment on every item that I buy, which is just painful. Like, oh, you got yourself sparkling water here, right there. Oh, you got yourself some ground beef.
Oh, you got big gulps, huh?
Oh, you got a whole wheat bread. I'm like, stop commenting on my food.
Yeah, that's really the essence. That's the genesis of how this started. When, oh, Tanny got a little stuffed peppers there? Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Yeah, I do.
So I have stuffed peppers, and I'm going to consume them.
Right, especially when I get, like, ice cream. Oh, you got yourself some Ben & Jerry's there, huh? Yeah, you got a little cheat night there for you? Sure you can afford to do that? Stop commenting on my food.
How many times has Bernstein walked by you in the hallway and told you that you've won lunch? You've won office lunch.
Oh,
because
never.
You win meals.
Never, because
no?
Bernstein cooks as well, so he probably thinks my cooking's trash, which is probably right.
Judgmental as hell on your... Yeah.
But I can order the hell out of a meal at a restaurant with Dan Bernstein.
That's right. you win lunch or you win dinner, Tanny. Congratulations.
Did you feel pressure doing that in front of Dan Bernstein?
Tanny wins the meal.
Tanny
wins the meal. Yeah, okay, I'm not even going to eat my tacos anymore because Tanny's meal is so great. Mine must be garbage. It's rubbish.
Literally, the only thing that I'm going to miss about not being able to be at Scorehouse is having to go out to dinner or eat dinner with Dan Bernstein. That's my favorite thing. Winning, I can't win a meal.
That's my favorite part. That or who is the NBA coach that we saw just chilling there that got fired?
Remember.
That got fired like 2 weeks later.
I look it up about every 3 weeks.
Hey, that guy coaches the Suns. Yeah. Hey, that guy's out of a job. Kenny Smith says something on the air.
Yeah, who was the guy who got fired?
That's what I was trying to think. I'm like, I wonder who it was. Kenny Smith says something on his air, and the guy gets fired the next day. Tanny and I go to dinner at a nice restaurant in the desert, sit by an NBA head coach, and he loses his job a week later. So... Can't invite us to dinner. But on the...
Earl Watson.
Oh, my that's God. Right. Every time it comes up, it's like, oh, yeah, Earl Watson. I'll remember that next time.
Old
Ask
Earl.
Me by the end of the show, and I will have forgotten that it was Earl Watson. But that's
with
a long-winded
33 win. And 85 as a Suns coach. That'll do.
Might have considered firing him sooner. But earlier today, and I tell you first, this segment brought to you by the all-new Super Duper Slam, just $6.99 at Denny's, introducing the Denny's Super Duper Slam with bacon, sausage, eggs, hash browns, and all-you-can-eat pancakes for just $6.99. The deal's so super, we just had to add a duper. For a limited time, price may vary. See you at Denny's. You order that, you win the meal if Dan Bernstein's sitting across the table from you. Anyway, earlier today, on with Mully and Haw this morning, Kendrick Perkins, you see him nationally. I mean, he is becoming a star in the NBA media world, works with radio.com. That's how we're able to get him on the station. You heard the cut coming out when he was on after the day after Kobe Bryant died. And he had Kobe Bryant being apples and oranges ahead of other players of his generation.
He's apples and oranges ahead of everybody.
That's how Kendrick kind of put it. But Kendrick was asked today by Mully and Haw about the state of the Bulls and specifically the head coach. And problems that may just come if you keep that guy employed.
Jim Boylan is a little bit of an unusual head coach, and from a player,
a little bit.
from a player perspective, I mean, if you're playing for a guy and he's calling timeouts with 10 seconds left, 7 seconds left, you're trailing, you have no chance to win, but he wants to use the teaching moment. He's done it repeatedly. It's beyond unorthodox. It's kind of annoying. How do you feel if you're a player? What's it like? Would it be like? Do you have any idea? You've never seen this.
No, I never did. But see, when it starts to get to that point, it's not about the player anymore. It's all about Jim Boylan trying to make his point and trying to, trying to force the issue on who he is as a coach. And once you start doing that, you start making it about yourself and not about the game of basketball. Or actually the players. Players are going to, if anybody know who played basketball at any level, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up on assignments. Are you trying to do it on purpose? Absolutely not. Sometimes it just happens throughout the course of the game. But as long as guys are playing hard, in my opinion, if a guy is doing something that you're not pleased with, how about serve him out for a couple of minutes and tell them how you feel, and then bring them back. But, those timeouts are getting out of control. And to me, that's just an ego thing and a pride thing, and it's all about Jim. And it's not how it should be. He's just trying to make a statement of this, how he's going to run things. And that's all good if you was winning and you're at the top of the East. But if you're down at the bottom of the bottom and, you're just barely scratching the playoff surface and guys are already complaining for you, people, as a player, you don't want to go to war with a coach like that. That makes you hate him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, the thing is that you want guys to buy into what you believe in. And the way he's going about it is just a recipe for disaster.
So, Kendrick, if the weather isn't an impediment for potential free agents to come to Chicago, would Jim Boylan be?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to tell you what, no good veterans or no superstars are going to go for that right now. So, Chicago is already having a hard time getting players, and let alone you trying to run this high school system and having guys check in, man. You're not about to attract any vets or anything like this. So I mean, some kind of way, man, he got to figure it out. Because I actually think he could probably be a pretty good coach if he would put his ego and pride aside. But definitely, they're not looking at him as like, hey, I want to come over there because of Jim Boylan. He's definitely turning players away.
What's the league-wide perception of Zach LaVine's season? Because outside of Chicago, it doesn't seem like he's getting a ton of respect.
No, not at all. But he's a walking bucket. He is a bucket getter. But, you know, I don't understand. You know, he's talented. He has the athleticism. I'm a fan of Zach's. I don't know if, you know, the perception around the league for his GMs. I know players feel pretty confident. And they like him. Former players love him. But I don't know how GMs feel about him, because from what I was hearing was that they was trying to trade him at the deadline but couldn't get any buyers. And that's kind of crazy and disturbing, because here it is, a guy that, you know, is capable of really dropping 50 on you any given night if he's hot, and he can't get a buyer. That speaks volumes, because you know, if it's internal problems or what, but obviously it's some type of bad word that's getting out about him.
That's Kendrick Perkins. You heard Mike Mulligan and David Hall, Mullion Hall, each morning 5 to 9 here on The Score. That from earlier today. You heard that on our airways. Wanted to bring part of that back just because of Kendrick Perkins. He's a respected NBA voice. Guy is fresh out of the league, last few years out of the league, played on many successful teams, was seen as a leader on a lot of those successful teams. And he's calling out the head coach right there. Don't think he's a bad head coach, maybe not X's and O's wise. Guy's ego gets in the way of everything. And that's the way I see it too, is that this team already has shown they have a damn near impossible road ahead of them to attract a free agent to start with, or a marquee free agent anyway, to start with. And then you add him into the mix, and it's like, this is gonna solve the problems. Like, no, it's not. And it's spiraling out of control, and it seems like it is just going to, it's going to be this kind of permanent state for the Bulls for the foreseeable future.
I love the way Perkins talks. Old walking bucket Zach LaVine.
Have you heard that phrase before?
No, it was awesome. He's a walking bucket. Old walking bucket.
I didn't know where he was going. He's a walk-in. I'm like, what's coming here?
You get what he's saying, though.
Yeah,
he's a walk-in bucket. I mean, he's
walking.
I don't know.
Score buckets.
Like I said earlier, it's like all of his points, you're just like, what does it mean? What does it mean that Zach LaVine just scored 32? Because it didn't really feel good during the game. It didn't look right at times. It didn't feel good. To what end does it matter that Zach LaVine, and the NBA has noticed that too, because he's nowhere near the All-Star game, nowhere near the Olympic roster. And then the other things that I mean, just like jotting things down that Perkins was saying right there, here are some of the phrases that he used. Makes you hate him. Recipe for disaster. Definitely turning players away. I mean, these are harsh, dramatic phrases that a guy who is respected and plugged into the NBA is talking about. So, I mean, that's some harsh stuff right there that the Bulls have to hear. And you know, it sounds like
he's a walking bucket. he is a bucket getter, but
that's awesome.
I love that, a walking bucket. Like, it's, what do you picture when you picture Zach LaVine? Well, I am going to forever picture a bucket with legs walking around.
Just walking around, carrying that bucket along.
That is what I'm going to see.
He punches the clock when he walks into the United Center.
He wins
the
Sweep the Shed Award if he was a Chicago Bear.
Yep, grabs his bucket, goes into the United Center, and just starts scoring buckets. That's what he does. But, man, like, So Kendrick Perkins has been on this radio station a lot this year, and I feel like there's been this crescendo of building up to like using words like hate and disaster and turning players away. I want more of Perkins. Like, just keep this going once a week or so. I'm programming Mullion Hall. Dustin, if you're listening, we need this once a week at least, just to see where he maxes out with the descriptions of this version of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, it grows a little bit each week by week by week, and by the time the end of the season finally comes, and what is it, early
early April.
Fire his ass.
Then Kendrick Perkins is just going to Mount St. Helens.
Right. That's where he's going to be. Gonna I mean, that's what it's building up to.
It's not far off
we're
now.
We're at the All-Star break, just, man.
Like, I know. But they play their All-Star break like two-thirds of the way through the season. Their All-Star break is the latest, I would think, of any of the sports, at least percentage-wise, of how much season's done. We have to pause for a timeout. That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szepkowski. Talk some NBA with you coming up top of the hour, maybe a little bit after the top of the hour. We'll relive when Derrick Rose was on these airwaves with us a little bit ago on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome back in. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Nick Szepkowski, Mark Grody with you up until 6 o'clock today. After us tonight, Bears All Access before Joe Ostrowski this evening, 7 to 10. And Julie DeCaro follows him. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welch Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home games against Illinois, Penn State, Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. You look flustered over there, Groats. What's going on in the Twitter world on your phone?
Oh.
You look like you are confused by breaking news.
No, I was actually watching you and I interview Derrick Rose.
Okay, that would be weird. That would be an experience that living through would be one hell of a thing.
I'm not hearing the sound. It's always strange when you see yourself on video and you just kind of watch the gestures that you make and the way your resting face and things like that. So I was probably disgusted in looking at myself and you and I gesturing back and forth. So, yeah. but it's...
You, me.
Right. I mean,
I realized when I was watching it during a break earlier that I rock a lot.
You were
like
rocking.
In this chair?
Yeah.
I just noticed it as I was saying it. I was like, I'm rocking again. What the heck's going on?
Yeah.
It's just I don't ever sit in rocking chairs. And when I do, I putting the rock into use, man.
No, you look cool, though. I like because you've got the big city behind you, and you're just rocking back and forth. So that's what I saw in that picture. I was also thinking about another grocery store moment that I had recently in our old neighborhood. I know, just recently.
Are you like a daily grocery store goer?
I am. I go on a daily basis. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just because, yeah, I don't know.
I tend to do that. Like, I tend to be like, all right, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Or what am I going to make for dinner tomorrow? I'll go and just see what looks good.
Yeah.
And choose it that way. My wife hates that. She like plans every detail of everything.
Right.
It drives her crazy. You're going to the store again? Yeah. I don't know what I want to eat.
Yeah,
but this
exactly.
Plan. I don't feel like following that plan.
Right. Like food is a feel thing. What do I feel like tonight? What looks good? Go through the grocery store aisle, see what looks good.
Yeah.
So I'm about an everyday guy, and I've got a couple grocery stores in my neighborhood here in the city. And I had an interesting experience where I went to a restaurant in Streeterville where you abandoned me. You and I used to live in
you
live in the neighborhood.
You were a stone's throw away.
We would run into each other at the 7-Eleven. But anyway, I go to a restaurant and I had a burger and fries, and I took like half the burger home and a big old mess of fries that I decided to take home because I'm not one of those people that minds eating, you know, old cold fries. I was like, all right, I'll take this home with me and eat it later or eat it the next day. I stop at the grocery store in the neighborhood to pick up a couple things. And, you know, when you go to grocery stores every day, it's like going to your Starbucks. You start to recognize the people. They start to know you and things like that just out of familiarity.
Yeah, the guy starts commenting on every item that you buy.
Right, exactly. Right. I'm there every day. So I come in, and I've got my leftovers in my hand, and I jokingly said to one of the employees there, I said, I got this leftover here from D4. You want it? And she right away says, yep, yeah, I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, yep. She's like, took it from me, took the fries. She said, I'll warm these up later and I'll eat them during my break. Got a half a burger here. I'll take that down as well. And while I didn't mind giving it away, like I was just very surprised that somebody who is relatively speaking, that's a stranger.
No,
right
that's
there.
A stranger.
That's a stranger.
That's a stranger.
Right. And she, without hesitating, she took it.
Like you would find it odd if someone that you've spoken to a time or two just offered you food.
Right. No, I wouldn't take it. And if I did,
you'd be like,
I wouldn't
eat it. Want my burger? Wait, what? No. What'd you do to? Why do you want me to have your food? No, I don't want your burger, no matter how hungry I am.
And it was the
stranger.
Fries that she really wanted. And then I even checked with her.
The place that you went, did it have like particularly great fries? Like, was that a selling point?
I No, not. I mean, they're fine. It's D4 in the name. Remember that?
Okay, I
mean,
so I didn't know if you were McNeiling me and you didn't want to say the name of the restaurant.
No, it's a good restaurant. Yeah, it's D4. Okay. It's a go-to place. But I was just...
D4. I remember the original Mighty Ducks. I remember
Ducks
D2.
4, is that what comes
remember
to mind?
Remember D3. That's where I should have... There is a D4?
There is a D4. Yep. It's the worst of the ones, but no. But I honestly like
it's where was, Goldberg turns into a method.
there was part of me that actually was impressed with her because in this society in which we live, where everybody is a germaphobes are everywhere. Like she didn't care. She was like, "What?" But then I got worried about it. I was like, "Do you need me to bring more food?
Do you need me to sanitize?
Do you need me to continue to bring food? I mean, I can.
I know we're in a grocery store, but I got some chips back at home.
I can help you out. Whatever you need, let me know when your break is.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, no,
that's
it was
a real bizarre acceptance.
Yeah,
I want that. Okay, well, there goes my leftovers I was going to eat in an hour or two.
Well, there was that, too. There was that the part of it where I was kind of mad at it.
I got to go back to aisle 3 because you took my second dinner.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, there goes my dinner, and good luck to you with my food. And then I checked with her the next day, and I said, did you eat those fries? She said, oh, yeah. She was like, I heated them up in the microwave, put a little salt on them. I was like, all right.
Yeah,
God bless her. God bless
you
her.
You have a weird relationship with your groceries.
I do. I do.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm kind of...
We're closer than I thought. That's what
so.
I would say.
You just bring out the best in people. People trust you for some reason.
Yeah.
Segment brought to you by Arby's. It's Nick Shepkowski, and it is Mark Grody. We're in for Mac and Parkins today. We take a timeout. We relive the Derrick Rose experiences. He was on our airwaves just after 2:30 today. We'll share that conversation with you coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.